In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's always a danger sign that you're getting old when you start to reminisce, but I'd like to reminisce a little bit with you this morning. I'd like to tell you something that happened to me when I was, I think, about 19 or 20, and I was at Theological College in London. And I had, because where the Hall of Residence was, our college was based, in Westminster, I had developed some connections with Westminster Cathedral, the Roman Catholic Cathedral, which is on Victoria Street. If you know it, some of you will, I'm sure. It's a wonderful brick building built in the Gothic, in the Byzantine style, even though it's not that old. And one of the things they used to have every summer, they had a flower festival, and people used to come from all over the world, and groups of women mainly, a bit like your mother's union, but kind of global, and they used to come and they do amazing flower arrangements in the chapels of the cathedral, and it was open to the public for a number of days, and it was a truly amazing event. And I helped with that on a couple of summer holidays. I volunteered and got to know some of the clergy there, and it was a wonderful opportunity. But on one afternoon during this flower festival, I had an experience that stayed with me, and it wasn't about flowers. One afternoon, I think it was a weekday afternoon, the Westminster Cathedral was hosting a Caribbean Mass. And parishes from all over the Westminster Diocese, which isn't just London, it's a vast, massive area, goes out to St Albans and up there and down to Brighton and so on. There were lots and lots, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people coming from different Catholic parishes to this Caribbean Mass. And they were all black. Every single person in the cathedral, apart from me and one of the priests who was on duty, was black. And as the cathedral started to fill with people, coming more and more and more people for this Mass in the afternoon, I became strangely uneasy. And although it was a church, it was a place where there was no threat whatsoever, I have to admit to you, I felt frightened. I felt frightened being surrounded by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of black people. And despite the fact they were Catholics and they'd come to celebrate Mass, didn't matter. The thing I experienced, if I was honest, was fear. I felt fear. I was an outsider. And there I was, one of two white people in a cathedral of maybe 2,000 black people. I'd always had a sensitivity around racism. As a child, I attended Hummersknott School. I remember in a school of 1,800 kids, there was one black girl. I remember thinking, what must it be like for her, being one black person in a group of 1,800 white kids? But here it was the other way around. For the first time in my life, I was in a racial minority. And I'll be honest, I felt frightened. And it was completely irrational. There was nothing to fear. Quite the opposite, really. It was a wonderful Mass, actually. Till I got settled in, I felt vulnerable. And it's a very natural human instinct to feel vulnerable when we are surrounded by things we don't know or feel very unfamiliar, people who look different from ourselves, people whose cultures and families and histories we know nothing about. It's a very human, almost an animal instinct to feel frightened. Well, there's something of that going on in the gospel this morning. It's a bit lost to us because we've either heard it so many times before or we don't know enough about it. But the woman who comes to ask Jesus for help is an alien. She is a foreigner. She's a Gentile. And good Jews would have nothing to do with such people. Religious observance would require they would not go near them, they wouldn't talk to them, they wouldn't touch them or be touched by them. And Jesus does an extraordinary thing. He ignores her. Now, I'll let you into a little secret. Matthew's gospel was very much pro-Jewish. This story doesn't occur anywhere else. And Matthew is saying to his Jewish readers, well, listen to this bit. Jesus was a good Jew. He was keeping the rules. He was keeping the Jewish law. And so initially, he doesn't speak to her because she is an alien. She is someone that would be, in his mind, in his upbringing, someone that was not worthy in God's eyes. And she pesters him, she shouts at him, She won't let him alone. She badgers him. I want, please make my daughter well. Please bring healing. And eventually, he listens and he responds with something very un-Christ-like, you might think. Why should I give you, an unworthy non-Jewish person, the gift of healing from God? Why should I give you that? You're not worthy of that, Jesus says. Pretty painful listening, isn't it? And she says, oh yes, but, you know, even dogs like me can pick the scraps from your table. And it's that little word of wisdom, that little persuasive word, Jesus changes his mind and he grants healing. So dare we even say that Jesus was a bit prejudiced? I'll leave that for you to think about. Nevertheless, because of her persistence, he granted her wish. And we too, you know, we're all prejudiced people, let's be honest. We are. And my experience of being prejudiced, because I was, I tried to fight it, but I felt really uncomfortable in that cathedral. That operates so strongly in us lots of the time. We read this week, don't we, of this nurse who's been found guilty of murdering babies on a natal ward. And we think how awful, how tragic for those parents and those children. And the very same week we hear of mothers and babies drowning in the Channel, and we don't think necessarily the same thoughts. Or do we? Prejudice is a part of human guts. It's in our animal wiring. And it's something we do need to be very conscious about. We can be class prejudiced, racially prejudiced, gender prejudiced, sexuality prejudiced, divorcee prejudiced, Christian prejudiced, anti-Jewish prejudiced. We can be prejudiced in a million ways. Anti-neighbor, who knows? I don't know. I just invite you to be honest before God about your prejudices, and I'm honest with God about mine and with you. You know, in the confession we say, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters. Yeah. You know me, I know you a little. We know we're human. We know we need forgiveness of each other and of God. So don't feel bad about when you slip into that little mindset of thinking, oh yes, that doesn't really matter because they are Irish. Black, traveller, gypsy. It's all the prejudices we have, and many, many more. Whatever yours are, be honest with them about before God. And Jesus himself, walking this earth, had... They are received. And in Isaiah as well, God looks favorably on any foreigner who follows the ways of God. Open, embracing, welcoming, generous to each other, to all the people we know, and all the people we don't know that we see. Jesus struggled with this, as you heard in the gospel. So do we. But God can give us a bigger mind and a bigger heart. Who is the person that you're talking to? Not what color are they, or where are they from, or accent do they have, or what class are they, or none of that. Who is the person that you are seeing or talking to or noticing in the street or on the television? Because remember, people, in God's eyes, every single person is of equal dignity and importance and value.